Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourselves up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems, so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.0005% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
But you say, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars it is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pulled up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm gonna get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
All right, this morning on It's My House. This is day 3 of the new decade in the new year 2020. And today's podcast is, we're sandwiching podcast on this live stream. The title is Your Skills Equal Your Assets. Your Skills Equal Your Assets. And then, just to keep them, you know, because it's January 3rd, to keep people's momentum going. Fear is basically the only cause of failure, fear and doubt. And that's why we include in our daily rotation now the guy with no arms that made the basketball team. And then there's another story that we just posted on our Facebook page. The headline reads, "Man with Autism Opens a Coffee Shop After No One." He opens his own coffee shop after no one would hire him. Let me read from this. It said, "We are different in many ways, but we often forget to embrace the fact and end up judging, discriminating, and rejecting others." Life with a disability gets rarely easy. Disabled persons face numerous challenges on a daily basis, and some of those issues that arise include employment, housing, public transportation, and attitudes. Yet it's completely possible to overcome the challenges and pursue your dreams, even if you're living with a disability. And Michael Coyne, Michael Coyne is a great example of this. This Special Olympics athlete lives with autism, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, and bipolar disorder. All right. Yet, as soon as he turned 21, he kept applying for different jobs and he was always turned down. He explained that he applied for many places and no one wanted to hire him, even though he completed a program in the hospitality field and gained skills required by the food service industry. This was tough on his mother, too, Sheila said. It's not easy for parents to watch your kids sit around the kitchen table while everyone else is enjoying life and coworkers and talking about their day. Yet Michael was determined to succeed and not let negativity discourage him. So instead of finding a business willing to hire him, he decided to create his own. He took business classes and soon opened up his own coffee house, Red, White, and Brew Coffee House, in North Smithfield, Rhode Island. I need to go make a trip to North Smithfield, Rhode Island to meet this guy. Anyway, we posted the article on our Facebook page. Very inspirational article, particularly this time of year, and we're gonna give him a call and see if we can get him interviewed on here. And before we open the phone lines, that's 619-768-2945 or 319-527-4961. I want to go back and replay. I want to look it up, too. Because this is another guy. The guy with no arms. I got to get a visual on this. But those are two examples. This guy with autism got turned down, couldn't get it, so he decided to create his own business. No excuses. And then the guy with no arms that made the basketball team. No excuses. I'm playing this again, the No Excuses Basketball, mainly to get the guy's name and see if I can look up more information about him online.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
He'll start picking teams, and I will be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarion. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarion took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
But you say, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarion, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarion Styles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarion can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
right, there, we're back for another installment of It's My House. Today's podcast is titled Your Skills Equal Your Assets. But we're sandwiching that in with an earlier podcast we did this morning, a Y'all Runner prelim podcast, which deals with fear. Because we're fresh with our New Year's resolutions or New Year's goals or whatever you call them. Fear will, and doubt, self-doubt will basically sabotage yourself and you won't accomplish anything. So we're sandwiching that in with the title of today's podcast. Now, we, on our regular rotation now, we're playing the Jamarion Styles. We played him twice this morning, and we're going to work on getting him in on an interview on one of our live streams, because, like I said, this kid, a young man, rather, at age 13, with no, well, there's a, I'm going to post it on our Facebook page, Earth Wealth Energy, but I'm looking at a picture of this guy. He doesn't have all of his, he's got some limbs, but this guy's shooting a jump shot with no hands and no lower arms. Matter of fact, I think he's got one arm. And anyway, this guy made 2 3-pointers. Well, he made the team, so he has a no-excuses attitude. And then, matter of fact, I'm going to open up, because we got a caller and I know on our other line, but let me holler at Robin first, our executive producer. Good morning, Robin. Robin? Okay, Robin might be away. Phil, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Robin.
Rob, we got a caller, I think, on the Vibes Live number. You see him on the board?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Phil. Phil, can you hear me? Will Phil hear us?
Yes.
All right, great. Share with, you got a no-excuses story that might sound, but hey, more inspirational than Jamarion Styles. Share that with us, please, to start the year off. And happy 2020 and happy new decade.
Well, happy 2020 to everyone. There's a guitarist that is in San Diego, California, or was in San Diego, California. His name is Mark Goffney. And the thing about him is he's not just a guitarist. He is a professional guitarist. He has a band. I believe he writes. And he has no arms. He was born with no arms, and he plays guitar with his feet. And it gets better. He not only plays with his feet, he also plays the bass with his feet. I think Magic Johnson has met him. He's been on several television shows when he was younger. And I believe he taught himself to swim with no arms. And people would say that, you won't be able to play. There's nothing that this young man, I believe this might be in his 40s or 50s now, but there's nothing this young man that he didn't do, he didn't want to do. He did everything he wanted to do, and he has no arms. And there's another musician named Tony Mendez. I believe he's in San Pablo. I'm trying to remember what country that is. But anyway, they also told him he wouldn't be able to play guitar. He also plays with his feet and is very good and professional. So if anybody knows anything about playing guitar, it's hard to play with your hands, period. But these two men are playing these instruments without any hands. They're playing with their feet, which just seems really
he gets paid.
Yes, he's professional, and he has a band and everything. I believe he writes music also, and guitar and bass. Now, bass is hard to play anyway, period. The strings are thicker, they're bigger, you know what I mean? Guitar is hard to play because the strings are smaller and they're thinner and trying to get in between the string and everything. But he does both of them. with no hands, with his feet, and he was born that way.
Boy, well, that talk about no excuses. Those are excellent examples of no excuses. Robin, what's your take on what Phil shared with us to start this year off?
Wow.
Is invalid.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. No excuses. I don't even have much to contribute after that.
You're right. It's kind of hard to follow that story.
Okay.
I think it's other than human beings. I think human beings can do just anything that you want to do. It's the spirit of a person that drives them. It's the drive, it's inner passion, and the ability to walk through or away from a no, or to make a no work for you. Because we're all going to experience no's at some time in our lives. I can say this about myself. I had a base SVT cabinet fall on me when I was in my 20s, and the doctors thought I would never play guitar again. I had 3 fingers broken in my left hand, and when I say broken, they look like pretzels. I used to watch my friends play, and they were simple things, and I was crying. I never gave up, so I ended up playing again. And actually, I teach guitar today. And a few years ago, I had something called focal dystonia. It's something that musicians that play on a high virtuoso level get when they have repetitive practice. It's worse than carpal tunnel, but they don't really have a cure for it. They sent me to the National Institute help NIH, and with the top guy in the country, and they had people sitting around a table that looked like something from Men in Black, all in white coats, looking at me, and the guy, they were writing something down, and I would jump in and play something, and they would write something down, and so the guy said I had focal dystonia. So then they decided they were going to put me on the program, and they had me injected with this botulism formula, and the botulism, if you know, was poison. They did it once, and I didn't want to do it anymore. I walked away from it. So I continued to play as best I could, and I found an Ayurvedic doctor, and he explained to me about Ayurvedic medicine, and it was 5,000 years old, and he worked with me. And at one time, I couldn't even move my fingers to play. I was playing with 2 fingers, and I was playing in a band with 2 fingers. All I had was 2 fingers, and my other fingers weren't working for the guitar at all. So eventually I've worked through it, and now I've gotten back to 95% or 90% of what I could do before, and I'm still working on the other 10. So I understand what it is to, you know, have come. That's 2 comebacks that I made. The broken finger on the left hand, which is the fretting hand, which is the hand you play with when you put it on the neck of the guitar, and then the nerve damage or whatever it was, focal dystonia. So my fingers wouldn't even move. It's like when you give your fingers a command and they won't move. They won't do what you tell them to do. So I've had practical and personal experience with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as a man thinks, so is he. Regardless of what you were told, your thoughts were, I'm gonna play this guitar. I'm gonna play the guitar. Right? So as a man thinks, so is he. So you know what? When people try to discourage you and tell you that it's all in your head, it's all in your mind, they're right. And be keen on that, guard that. People really need to get that. So as they think, so they will be. What they think, that's where their efforts will be. What they think, that's what they will produce. That's what they will manifest. So You know, don't give yourself over to idle conversation, gossip. Don't get caught up in the sensationalism of the news and the impeachment and all that. Stay focused. You know what? Be true to yourself. To thine own self be true. How about that? Happy New Year, y'all.
Okay.
Well, like I said, we
don't. I might add one more thing.
Yeah, sure.
I think a lot of times what people do is they get what I call the radar screen. And the radar screen, what you see in front of you. You see, well, I only have $1,000. I only have $50. How am I going to start a business? I don't have any training to be this. I don't have any training to be that. I'm, you know, 50-something years old. How am I going to start a business? You know, I've never done this before. That's your radar screen. What people don't understand is that passion and what you broadcast with your thoughts is greater than the radar screen. When you have your mindset on something, you're actually broadcasting frequencies to the ethers, because the human being is a radar station, and the human being is a broadcast center due to the fact that you have electricity and nerves in your body. You broadcast electrical signals across the ethers, and so when you do, you attract certain people. This is really the law of attraction. When you have these nerves in your body. And of course, it's a science. This is not, you know, some hoodoo medicine or whatever. This is science. When you have a wire, and the wire has a current going through it, it generates a field, and your body is like a wire because you have nerves in it, and based on the electricity, it generates a field, and in this field is information. And just like a regular wire, when you broadcast something to a regular wire, it has information. And so the information is sent out to the universe. And the universe will be attracted, or whatever you broadcasting will be attracted to the way you're thinking. So if you're thinking that you can't do it, then guess what? That's what you're going to manifest. If you're thinking in a certain way and you're broadcasting this thought continuously, eventually, you're going to draw what you believe, what you're actually feeling, not really believing. If you're feeling like you're not worth it, then that's what you're going to get. You're going to get, I'm not worth it. And people will treat you that way. And I think people operate off that radar screen, but they don't realize that there's more than what you can see, there's more than what you can touch, there's more than what you are feeling that's out here. There are opportunities. There are all types of things that you are unaware of. You can't say that, oh, I can't do this because I'm this and I'm that. You don't know what opportunities exist out here. What you have to do that literally is not really operating on faith. It is kind of operating on faith, but it's operating on science. Because when you broadcast, when you're broadcasting this, these thoughts, people pick them up. They can pick them up across the planet, and you'll be surprised what happens to you. People will pick up your thoughts, you know, and in your life. And you'll end up with opportunities, but you have to maintain that you're not going to give up.
Oh, okay. We need to hear that. Now, Phil, is there anything you want to promote for 2020? You're an educator yourself.
Well, I have a very unique system of teaching guitar, and it's unique, but it's a lot of the same information you see, but it's reorganized in a different sort of way. I use neurolinguistic programming. I use super learning. I use mega memory. I use different types of teaching modalities. And my email address is Phil's Music Notes at live.com. I teach by Skype, and I also, you know, if you're in my area, then I also will arrange lessons for you. But my belief in teaching this, what most people do with information is they'll bring the information. It's like you go to the grocery. It's like I invite you for dinner. say I invite you for dinner, and you're sitting in my house, and I come to the kitchen, and I put all the groceries on the counter, and I say, dinner's served. That's the way most people teach information. But if I'm inviting you to dinner, what I should do is go prepare the information. I should make it taste good. I season it. I should put it on the plate and give it to you so you can eat it and digest it. If I'm going to give you information, I give you a modality so you can absorb the information. And I'm not just talking about showing you how to do it. I'm talking about I have built neurolinguistic programming. I have built mega memory. I have built a super learning. I've studied different systems of learning, and I've incorporated into my teaching method so people can get information very, very quickly. Again, if interested, my name is Philip Tiller. My address is Phil's Music. My email address is philsmusicnote@live.com. And I'm available for guitar lessons. It doesn't matter about the style. What's important is you understand the instrument and you understand how music works. If you do that, then the world is your oyster. You can do the YouTube thing. You can do anything you want. The most important thing is to learn the instrument and learn how music works.
Okay. Because we have listeners all over the place. We got them in Uganda. We got them in Far East Asia, Russia, most of Europe. So people, it doesn't matter where they're from, you can, if they're interested in learning the guitar. Oh, you offer lessons by Skype too, right?
Yes, okay. We can set something up by Skype, and just contact me, and I'll see what I can do. My schedule is pretty full. I teach full time, 6 days a week, both one on one, and I have all ages. I have people that are in there. I had a student that was in his 80s, 82. And he picked the guitar, was playing guitar in 6 months. I have had full. One of my things is I can have you strumming chords in a month. You can strum along chords in a month. Change between chords and do it rhythmically in time in a month. I have children as young as 5. I had one that's 4, actually, but he's very, very bright. I have them as old as in their 80s. So I take all ages. I work really well with teenagers. I work really well with 7 and 8 year olds. It just depends. And you can just contact me. And if I can work with you, I will.
Okay. All right. Well, those of you out there that wanted to learn how to play guitar, that's one of your goals, then give Phil a call on that. Robin, matter of fact, it's Friday, man. It's first Friday of the month. First Friday of the year. Robin, any weekend Soul Train plans this weekend or coming up? No, Robin must be. She's in and out. Oh, let's go to 314 area code. 314 area code, your mic is open. Or it's getting open. It's open now.
What do you say, L.A.? How you doing?
Good. First Friday of the month. Of the new year.
Yeah, it's the first payday for those who get paid weekly. How's your guess?
Okay. Yeah. First Friday of the decade.
Yeah, it's a good story about that person who is armless and doing all those things. He joined a whole troop of people I've seen, from driving cars to playing the piano.
Yeah, we're working
getting up
on,
in the morning, brushing their teeth and everything.
Right? I want to interview some of those people throughout the year. Because they're very inspirational. And I also think they help people count their blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, they take the excuses out of stuff.
Yeah, but you know, one day in the far in the near future, you will only be a brain in a jar of liquid with tubes leading to it, creating bubbles to aerate it. So that would be your person.
That sounds like out of a science fiction movie there.
Mm-hmm. And then leaves will come off of it and go to a terminal. And you will control things that way. If you got a smart phone or smart house, then you would operate like that.
Well,
it'd be funny
right.
if you.
So mm-hmm. you get rid of the body, but then the brain's still surviving.
Yeah, if you get a text message to meet me at my office, we talk about your employment. You get there and sit down at the table, and after a while, a screen rolls back, and there's a big canister with a brain in it.
Oh, that's scary.
That's talking to you. Robin, you ready for that?
Her light, so I don't know where she's at.
She probably went to the door with the brain there and delivered the package she got assigned for.
Well, yeah. Think new opportunities are on the horizon. So, I look at it.
There's a lot of opportunities that's coming up. I was listening to someone talking about the asteroids. Well, I'll tell you what, the opportunities that's surrounding the space station. Of course, it created a lot of opportunities, a lot of entrepreneur, a lot of business opportunities that surround the space station. These new missions that's coming up, it's going to create more opportunities. Students at Tuskegee is taking advantage of the opportunities that's associated with the planned Mars mission. The strong talks on Mars mission.
Now, how long would it take? Are they calculated from Earth to Mars? How long is that voyage or journey?
I don't know. It's going to take a while. But with the innovations that we have now, the satellite that was launched off to go to Pluto, it went by the moon in 3 days, where the first astronauts that traveled to the moon took them 6 days. So rockets.
So we've got something going out to Pluto?
Huh?
We got something going out to Pluto?
It's already been.
Man,
already reached it.
Oh, I got to read up on that then. Figure out how long it took them to get from here to Pluto.
Mm-hmm. And also, the there's so much that people can get involved in space exploration and things associated with mining of asteroids, even.
Hmm.
And also, the deflecting of asteroids that have the possibility to be heading toward Earth to recreate the same type of calamity that struck there, what, off the Yuma Desert, that brought about the demise of them huge reptiles called dinosaurs.
Hmm. I just looked up. All right, one site says it will take 9 years, 5 months, and 26 days to travel from Earth to Pluto. 9.5 years. To Mars, I think 260 days, somewhere around that. Interesting.
Well, if I was going, I'm taking my pistol with me.
The Pluto?
Any place.
Now, what I had to read up on Pluto, because a lot of planets, like Jupiter, a lot of its surface is gas. So they don't have, I mean, some of these planets don't have the type of, I think, what do you call it? Mars has the closest terrain as far as compatibility goes, as far as, you know, Earth terrain.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they say. So
yeah.
I wouldn't want to stay. I like where I am.
Yeah, there's so much here. I got Earth. We really don't occupy that much. Human beings, even all this, with almost 8 billion of us, we really don't occupy a whole lot of the planet. And on top of that, 99% of all life on planet Earth lives underwater. So I like it here as well. So
I see where all the pundits are talking about this killing of this Iranian general. They want to jump on.
Yeah, I read about that. I don't read it, but yeah,
this person has been responsible for over 120 U.S. soldiers' deaths, countless civilians, and his support of terroristic activities over in that area. But the thing is, if you kill an American citizen, no matter where you are in the world, operating from that sort of perspective, they're going to find you and they're going to kill you.
Hmm.
And actually, that's the message that should be sent.
Well, I'm reading a history. It says, Democrats say Congress wasn't consulted on airstrike.
You're supposed to consult them. That's what, because some of them working for the very people that he's working for.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sense does that make? So you tell them, yeah, we're going to get such and such. They leave the meeting, get on the phone. Yeah, such and such don't be at certain location. Then when things go down, he's not there. Then they come back and say, well, you dagged on. Republicans don't know what you're doing. And on and on and on.
Oh,
could you imagine telling Maxine Waters?
It's speaking of within 2020, this is an election year. All right, we know who's running on the Democratic side. Who do you think will throw in their head on the Republican side?
I don't know. He may not have no opposition. I tell you what, it's a hard act to follow. Looking
there
at the economy, look at the opportunity that's presenting itself with just tariffs alone. Tariff on imported goods. You make United States dollar is very strong, and these goods coming from these countries that have a weak dollar is why they sell and want to sell to the U.S. So you have to protect your businesses by imposing tariffs or a fee for them goods to come into these countries, into our country. Not that there's an opportunity to look at what's being imported in the United States, then go about making that yourself. You know, you see these news articles that's saying the tariffs is not working and so on and so on. Well, what's happening is that you had U.S. companies that were buying components to whatever they're manufacturing from abroad. Well, when the reason why company not buying them locally within the nation is because the cost of stuff produced abroad was so cheap, you couldn't afford to go into business even paying minimum wage, $15 an hour. That's another drawback, too. Minimum wage jobs was typically designed for college and high school students to do something during the summertime, I believe. But when you're using them to work to live off of, that's another problem.
Yeah.
So if one was to pay attention of what was imported in this country, it is still being imported, and start making plans to start manufacturing them here, then your government's supposed to impose tariffs on your competitors coming from across the seas.
Well, we both agree it. Plenty of opportunity.
Yeah, you know, like your tiny house. For people that's in certain professions, that's a good idea because they don't have to be worrying about maintaining no property.
That's true.
Some scientists who spend most of their time reading and attending lectures and so forth, and they hardly have any family time. They probably don't even have a family. Well, a tiny house is just a good place for somebody that falls in that particular category. They don't have time to be out there trimming shrubs and bushes, pruning flowers, mowing lawns, moving sprinkler heads around, raking grass, leaves. The house I built had an automatic sprinkler system. Heck with that stuff no more. I knew a guy had a lawn. He used to be out on it, lay out a rug and lay down and take scissors and trim his lawn.
Good. How long did it take him to do that?
I don't know. But when he died, you can tell he ain't doing it no more. Somebody ain't doing what he was doing.
The whole lawn?
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. Yeah. Talk about attending to detail.
Yeah. An old white guy.
Well, how big was his lawn now?
Oh, I'd say it was... Yeah, let's see, but... One section was probably 20 by 20, then another section was probably 40 foot long, maybe 50 by 20 wide. Yep.
Okay, well. The good thing about this year so far, nothing scandalous. Yet. but we're going into the weekend. So I got a couple of things I need to work on myself. So what we're going to do is we've done over an hour today. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. I'm going to cut this one. No, we've done over an hour. Sometimes we do too. But we're going to cut this one short for the weekend, and we'll be back Monday. We got a couple of podcasts on Charles Tyler Show this weekend. So on that note, everyone have a good rest of the day and continue the great 2020, great decade, et cetera, et cetera.